I anticipated when you said 6. I got up at 6. I thought we were just going to bang, start.
Well, we're not too far off. We've only wasted a half hour.
Yeah, only a half an hour. That's okay.
Well, we're going to waste, you know, our listeners' times for much longer than that usually.
Oh, no. This is going to be tight.
Okay, let's do it.
Welcome to episode 20 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. Adam, you go first this time.
I would like to introduce myself. My name is Adam, and I am talking on my microphone in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Do you want to try that again?
No.
Okay, it's fine. Okay.
And I'm something. Wait. Was something wrong with that?
No, it was perfect.
My wife's giggling in the background. Okay.
Don't change a thing.
Okay. You go ahead. You do better. You do. Oh, she snorted. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't
hear
that.
She snorted. Yeah.
This is Alan from Tubing in Germany. 6:45 a.m. over here, and still sharp as a tack. That's all I'm saying.
Still sharp? You just woke up.
No, I'm just saying that normally I'm sharp as a tack. When I do the show,
right,
and then even though we're doing it very early, I am still sharp as a tack.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not attack like, but like attack.
Right.
Okay. That's the end of the show. I lost my place in the show notes.
It's episode 20.
Episode 20, and we're going to talk about back button focus. It's a very small topic, but extremely important, but we'll get to that later. So I wanted to welcome everybody. I wanted to also remind everybody about our Flickr site, which has been burning up the internet.
Really?
No, it's actually slow to grow, but it's fair. I haven't used Flickr in a long time myself and just getting back to it. But we want to encourage people to, if they have any questions or any suggestions, by all means, please drop us a line on the Flickr. There's the forum there. You can write a post on the forum. And more importantly, we'd like people to feel welcome to share their pictures along with our photo challenges. If people are shooting along with us, please feel free to include them. And I don't think people should only want to include their best photos or think, hey, listen, my photos aren't great. If they're bad, put them up. Even if you think they're bad, they're probably not as bad as you think they are. But even if they are terrible, hopefully we can fix that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I got to add.
Should I try that again without sounding so condescending?
You can try.
Okay.
That's kind of your thing, though.
Being condescending?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll stick with it then.
Okay.
Yeah. That was unintentional. Really, I'm just saying, if you have pictures, please share them. We'd like to see where you're at, and you get the idea.
Right.
I'm not going to spell it out for you.
Yeah, I think everyone's got the idea.
Okay, moving on. Did you shoot anything this week?
I did. I shot stuff. Mm-hmm. We took a little family trip. It was a long weekend here, Victoria Day in Canada. So it's a long weekend. We had a holiday Monday, and we went down to the States, to the U.S. of A., just across the line in Washington State, and went to Bellevue, Washington, which is near Seattle. We didn't actually go into Seattle this time, and did a couple of kid-oriented activities, stayed overnight in a hotel, went with friends of ours who had three young children, so it was a kids oriented trip.
Nice.
Yeah. So I took some pictures at the swimming pool in the hotel, and that's where my photo challenge picture was taken from. Took a little bit of video that I just was using my iPod, so I took some video from my iPod. We went to this neat trampoline place. It was I can't remember the name of it, but it was Sky High Sports. I think Lisa's feeding me notes in the background, but it was the coolest place that I've been to for this sort of thing. But it was just a warehouse completely full of trampolines. Everything on the floor was trampolines. On the walls were trampolines. They had dodgeball on trampolines. They had jumping into foam pits on trampolines. So it was pretty neat.
I thought you said it was kid oriented.
Well, kid and adult.
Are you kidding?
Oriented.
That just sounds like awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was very awesome. So we did that. And it's kind of a pay-by-the-hour thing. And right. So we paid for 1 hour. Oh, my God. An hour is a long time of jumping on trampolines.
Is it?
And I'm sore 3 days later.
And you're a doctor.
No, not really. I'm a physiotherapist, which is a few notches below, actually.
Are you a dentist then?
No, still lower on the food chain.
All right. Well, I'm not writing your biography, so let's move on. And so what was the challenge of shooting pictures in there?
I just shot video, like I said, if you were paying attention. But
You shot no pictures of trampolining.
No, because they had sort of rules about electronic devices, and you had to be only off to the side, and so you couldn't be jumping while you were doing it. And I didn't even entertain the notion of bringing my camera in there, thinking that I was going to be jumping around for most of the time. So I just took the iPod, which I tucked away in my pocket, and then I took some video clips, more just to show people how neat a place that was.
Great.
Yeah, so that was it. And then I took a few pictures and went to Chuck E. Cheese with all the kids, and so I took a few pictures in there, but none of those were fantastic. So mostly just pictures around the swimming pool with the kids.
Sounds like you're a great dad.
I am. Is there a dad of the year that someone can nominate me for?
Yeah, I think you get a coffee mug, but it's not that exclusive.
I have a keychain that says number one dad.
Well, see, there you go. That's how you get it.
It's kind of an arbitrary ranking system, though.
Yeah.
There was like 400 of those keychains on the rack. What about yourself? Do you shoot some pictures?
I'm going to get one that says the number two dad.
Yeah.
Just like top 10 dads.
Or just like number 11.
Yeah. Still good.
Forget two. You weren't even the runner-up. You weren't even close.
I mean, do you know how many people there are in the world? Like, that's still pretty good.
What did you shoot?
More baby portraits. It's a baby derby over here. And so I was contracted to go out and shoot a bunch of baby and like family type portraits. You've seen a million of them. So
yes.
I don't have to go into great detail about that, but the kid is, I don't know, 2 weeks old?
Yeah.
That seems
a bit young for that, but is that average or?
For your newborn pics, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe 3 weeks old. Like, it's definitely not, it's not very old.
Right.
The kid's not very old. But he, old enough to cry, though.
Yes.
So there's that. So that was a bit of a challenge. Getting the, you know, first of all, young babies, turns out, like it to be very warm. Did you know that?
Yes, I did know that.
So everything, the house was on, was the heat was on, even though it was very warm outside. It was still needed to heat the house.
Right.
So it turns into a very warm environment.
See, we just wrapped the child in blankets. That way everybody else doesn't need to boil.
Yes, normally yes, totally. But for the pictures, they didn't want pictures of the kid in the blanket.
Right, I see what you're saying.
And so it becomes a very, very warm working environment. But right. that was challenging for sure. But most of it, the real challenge comes in being ready to shoot when the kid stops crying.
Right.
And he's definitely not a crying baby, like a cry baby kind of thing, but just in your average crying amount is plenty. when you're trying to get the lighting set up and you have to be really fast when you're moving those lights around.
Yeah.
Because I was shooting with either one or two off-camera flashes. And, I mean, sometimes one, sometimes two, depending on what we're shooting. And so you don't have quite the window of opportunity to get it set up, because all of a sudden, the kid's ready, so you start shooting right then. So that's it. That's the challenge behind that. So I guess how I overcame that, I'll go ahead and interview myself.
Yeah, because I was thinking, I just hope you stop talking soon so we can move on.
Probably. The moral of the story is just work really fast.
Right.
You don't have time to mince around and make decisions. Just jump on it.
Yes.
So, and then I shot some more.
I find that same thing. Sorry to interrupt and talk about my own life, but I find that with not just my own children, but certainly when I take pictures of friends' kids, is you have a very short time span to work in. Otherwise, a lot of people start getting upset.
Yeah. You know, you're absolutely right. And I don't remember if maybe people aren't as patient as they used to be or whatever. Say what you want. I think, but I'll bet you what it is that when you're a kid, even when we were kids, you know, it wasn't like it was special to get your picture taken, but it's not like your dad had his camera around his neck his whole life. You know?
Right.
Like, he never brought it to the bouncy castle or whatever you call the place.
Right.
It was like you brought your, it's November, we better take one picture.
Right.
That's how it kind of was. So
yeah, it's changed.
I guess people are overwhelmed with it. You could be there forever if everybody wanted to take their picture.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Then I shot some more business portraits, which are pretty boring. So I regret having mentioned it at all.
You should take a business self-portrait and then post it so, you know, we could get an idea of what your business portraits end up looking like.
Good point. I do on my site. I do have the one about me. That is technically my business portrait, even though I'm not a business guy. That's why I'm not in a suit and tie. Yeah.
Okay.
But you're right. It's not indicative of what I've been doing for business portraits. So perhaps I will get to that. I make no promises, Adam.
Okay. I don't expect to promise. Just throwing it out there.
Well, that brings us to the photo challenge.
Okay.
What was our photo? It was my idea, wasn't it?
Dragging the shutter.
Because we talked about dragging the shutter last week on the show.
Yes.
Yeah. And thus...
So you dragged the shutter.
I did. We can start with mine if you like.
Sure.
Let's go ahead and do that. Okay. I took
Which entry, first of all? Because you got a few pictures.
13A.
Okay.
We're talking about 13A.
Okay, I'm looking at it.
This is a picture of just your regular kind of thing. I don't know if you'd actually take a picture of this. Maybe you would. It's rather mundane, and that was the point. I wanted to take a picture of just, you know, sort of like an everyday life situation where dragging the shutter would help out. And the whole purpose is to really illustrate what dragging the shutter does.
Okay.
So we're looking at my wife and her friend discussing some sort of something. I'm not sure. I wasn't listening.
Looks important.
Yeah, it was. Well, someone's got a calendar, and they're discussing sorting something out. I'm not sure. So, this was taken. I posted the data on this one so you can compare. This was taken in manual mode. At ISO 1600 f/4, which is as wide as my kit lens goes. I used the kit lens again.
Okay.
And it was a shutter speed of 1/30th of a second, which if you're really trying hard, you can hold still with the IS, image stabilization. But the flash really helps, believe it or not. The flash kind of freezes the people in the foreground and we don't worry too much about camera shake for the background.
Okay.
Do you want to compare it to the auto mode?
Sure.
Oh, thank God. Because that's really where this shines. The next shot, 13B, is almost the identical shot that I just made it in the green pumpkin auto mode.
I flipped it over. Yeah, it doesn't look as good.
I flipped it over, let the camera do its thing, and you can see quite a few differences.
For example, it's much darker, so you don't you see a lot of you see less illumination in the foreground of your subjects, and you see, you know, much less contrast between the foreground and the background, and just a much more underexposed background.
Right. By dragging the shutter in the previous shot, we essentially with a much, you can see the difference. The ISO is much higher, 400 versus 1600.
Right.
So automatically we are getting more exposure in there. Also, the shutter speed's 1/30th, which is twice, basically half as long. And therefore, we're getting a lot more light, at least twice as much light just from the shutter speed.
Right.
So we're letting a lot more natural light come into the shot. And we're not relying on the flash to light up the bulk of it. In the auto one, our flash is the primary light source. If I took this picture at ISO 400 and 1/60th of a second with no flash, you would see nothing. It would be almost black. So the flash is doing all the heavy lifting, almost all the heavy lifting. You can see a little bit of some shadows. You can see in the background even the reflection off of the just see the next to the window. See the reflection off the
I can see it.
Metal. I believe that is from the flash. I don't think we see that in the other one. Or we do, but much less. So perhaps it's not the flash. Ignore that. Point being, in the auto mode, the flash is doing all the work. And the other one, it is just adding a little bit of fill to the foreground.
Right.
Now, I did take this picture on the exact same manual mode without the flash to illustrate. And it's just too much information. Do it yourself if you want to have a look. But it doesn't look as good.
Right.
So that's one situation where we drag the shutter because... Okay.
Okay. Now, my picture, in my mind, I felt as though I was still dragging the shutter, but I did not use... a flash for this exposure. I also shot this at an ISO of 1600, and I think the f-stop is 3.5. I'm not looking at the details in front of me, but you can double check that if you want. But okay. I didn't use the flash, but I also have an auto mode showing an auto mode picture of this is a friend's daughter, so one of the people we were traveling with. And I took this in the hotel swimming pool, and the light was very poor. Although at the other end of the pool, there was a large window, so some window light coming in. Although where I was, there wasn't nearly enough to properly light this picture without, you know, slowing the shutter speed down to 1/30th of a second and using an ISO of 1600. And I did take this picture, which, you know, I subsequently deleted shortly after with the flash. I just didn't like that picture nearly as much as without the flash, and I thought that she was sufficiently lit without the flash, so I figured that this was still an example of dragging the shutter. Do I pass, or what do you think? No, I don't.
No. It's a good photo. That's the thing. I don't want to step on your toes. It's not an example of what we're talking about, dragging the shutter. It is a good way of adapting, though, to a difficult situation.
So I need to have that flash in order for it to be considered dragging the shutter.
Well, I don't know if there's an internationally recognized body that determines what dragging the shutter is. But in terms of what we're discussing, yeah, we're going to go for two exposures allowing enough background light to creep in and then lighting our subject with a flash.
Right.
So in that regard... not what we're going for, but a good example. I don't give you a full fail.
Okay, but I would see. Let me just defend myself. In my mind, dragging the shutter just meant that I was gonna use a really slow shutter speed, drag it on out in order to light up my subject. And if, in that sense, you make a better picture without the flash, wouldn't you be better served to do such?
I think so. I can't disagree with you, and I wish I were an authority on what dragging the shutter is. in my mind, it is using the flash. But you know what? I could spout off a whole bunch of details. I don't really know.
Okay, I'm gonna put that to the listeners, you know, to see if this, you know, we put it to a vote to see if this isn't an adequate example of dragging the shutter.
Okay, if that's the criteria, I'm gonna come in and say 100% no. Okay. That's my vote. Not to sway the vote. I'm happy to be proven wrong. But yeah, it's a great example of window light.
Yeah, and a really slow shutter speed.
Also, but what you'll find is that you would achieve the exact same photo, almost exact same photo, if you'd shot it at 1.8 and the shutter speed at 1/125th.
Okay, but the problem with that would have been way harder to hit the focus on her.
You would have lost a little bit in the depth of field. That's true. That's the only difference in the picture. But exposure wise, your image would be identical. And yeah, see, you can see the difference in mine. Now, if we're talking about who made the better photo, I do not win that. You've clearly made the better photo. That is without dispute.
Well, that's really all I care about. So
that's really the main thing. Yeah. Learning schmerning who made the better photo. I am seeing the auto version of a similar situation that you took, and you can definitely see the difference in the two pictures.
Yeah. That other picture is terrible.
Yes. And that's typical of your pop-up flash. Is that in auto mode?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a great example of why you should get it. First of all, get the 1.8 lens, but also shoot in AV mode and understand what sort of forces are at work in your photo. Because you can see the major, major difference between auto mode with the flash and Adam's version of dragging the shutter.
Right. Maybe I can coin that Adam's version of dragging the shutter.
It makes me marble mouthed.
All right, so what's this episode about? I don't even know what back button focus is, so maybe you can fill me in on it as well.
Okay, we're going to get to that, but just we're trying to make this real quick. We wanted to kind of give a wrap-up of the previous 19 shows, sort of a highlight reel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, not really a highlight reel, but I wanted to ask you, after on our 20th show, kind of where you're at and where you think. Let me rephrase that. Hey, Adam. I wonder what you would feel would be your important takeaways.
My important so far. Takeaways.
So, like, if you were starting, let's say, I'm going to pose the question to you twice.
Okay.
If you were starting out brand new, you've been taking pictures for a month, and you just downloaded the past 19 episodes, and you got all caught up this month, and you're starting to shoot brand new.
Yeah.
What do you think would be the most important aspect to focus on for yourself?
I think to understand how to create depth of field. I think for me personally, that was the one reason I bought the SLR, and that was the first thing that I set out to learn. And definitely I found in doing these podcasts has really reinforced it for me. So just kind of, I guess, the interrelationship between aperture, shutter speed, and the other factors that affect depth of field, how close you stand or how far you stand from your subject. And and I think that was, for me, that was the biggest thing that I learned.
So when you first started focusing on depth of field,
yeah,
what was your sort of thought process? Like when you would go to take a picture and you thought, hey, I want to make, you know, a really narrow depth of field photograph here.
Yeah.
What's your next step? What's the first thing you think about?
Well, the first thing I thought about was how can I make this easier on myself? And so that's where, you know, reading in the manual and speaking to you, it was my first step was start and learn AV mode, learn how to use AV mode, because then you're making aperture the priority of your picture.
Okay. And why is that important?
Well, that's important because aperture, the aperture priority mode really you know, will allow you to set the depth of field very easily. So I didn't have to worry too much about shutter speed because, again, I found that, you know, learning three variables at once more difficult. So I just had to worry about one variable. Oh, it's two variables. I guess I had to learn where to set the ISO. But then I only had to worry about setting the aperture, and the camera, you know, did the math on what the shutter speed should be.
That's a great point. First of all, aperture, as we've mentioned many times, is one of the major factors that dictate your depth of field. So by setting on in AV mode, you are now dictating the depth of field. But what I really like about what you just said was basically trying to eliminate some of the variables. So many variables in making a good photograph, and luckily your camera can do all or most of them for you. But if you separate that and just focus on just the one, just allow yourself to focus on AV mode, on aperture, and let everything else fall into place, you're going to start to make much better pictures and have a better understanding about what's going on with your pictures. So simplify. Adam's saying simplify.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
I find, even though, I mean, looking back, it's really hard for me to look way far back into, you know, being a new guy because I've shot pictures and film and video for so long. But I find that with my wife, who is basically learning to take photos as well, the biggest thing for her early on is having a great understanding of ISO. Like what, not just what ISO means, but in any given situation, what should the ISO be? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. And I think that variable was probably the first variable that I started with. So just understanding that made AV mode that much easier to deal with once I had that understanding of ISO.
Yep.
But I didn't find it that complex. So maybe you should have a talk with your wife, because really on my camera, you got what, how many 100, 200, 400, 800, 1600. There's not that many choices, right?
Right. Although mine does have way, way more choices. It runs all the way up from 100 to 1600, but at smaller intervals.
Oh, okay.
That's not really the issue. It's even if it's a situation between should this be 100 or 1600, it's not like she can figure it out. But when we're talking about like taking pictures of kids or whatever it is, when you have that very small window, you want to be very comfortable with it. You want to be so comfortable with it that you know before you've even taken your camera out of the bag, this is going to be an ISO 400 situation.
Right.
So you're walking around on vacation, it's noon, you're at the Louvre or outside the Louvre, it's a sunny day. You know right away without even thinking, this is going to be an ISO 100 situation. The end.
Yeah.
You know that if you put it at 1600, you're going to get no picture.
Right.
And likewise, when you're at the swimming pool and you think, "Oh, you know, I'm inside here and I got that window light, I'm going to need to get an ISO 1600. I know that's going to produce a great result." And so to get that comfortable with it, so it's just instantaneous, I think is a huge, huge step into taking better photos quickly.
Yeah, I agree.
Because everybody loves to watch dad sit around and just mash his thumbs into the camera hoping to get a picture. That's great. On the flip side, in the last, you know, let's say couple months, what are some of the biggest takeaways for you? Like what has changed now that you've taken a lot of pictures.
Yeah.
You're not fresh and new anymore.
Yeah.
What is one of the more advanced takeaways?
For me, definitely the flash exposure compensation, which, I mean, everything I learned came right out of the podcast we did, because I didn't really know what it was or how to use it at all prior to that podcast. So, you know,
the flash exposure.
Oh, sorry. Just the exposure compensation. I use the flash exposure compensation a fair bit too, but no, just the plain exposure compensation.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. And I love the comment. I shot some pictures today actually of my son Jack, just again, I like the combination of the window light again, we have big sliding glass windows in our living room, and so I like to shoot the kids when they're sitting on the couch and doing whatever, and get the window light and use the flash exposure compensation, and the pictures look fantastic. And so yeah,
no, you said it again.
What's that?
You said flash exposure compensation.
Sorry, I'm sure I'm confusing everybody. Just the regular. I'm confusing myself. Just the regular exposure compensation. But right. Yeah, no, I almost on all the pictures that I take with flash, I use both now. I think that's why I get confused easily there.
Mm-hmm. No, they should have named it something else.
Yeah, it's their fault. It's the camera manufacturer's fault.
So how does exposure compensation work, or basically play a part in window light photography, like if you're talking about taking pictures of your kids by the windows?
Right. Well, generally speaking, like the light that's coming off the window, and for my situation, they're relatively close to the window. If I shot that in AV mode without making an adjustment, their faces would be too lit on the one side. So the camera in AV mode would overexpose it at the neutral or the zero setting. So I typically go two thirds under in this situation in my room, just because I know the light, and two thirds under produces just a fantastic exposure in terms of their faces are properly exposed, and there's a real quick drop off in the light behind them. So it almost looks like, you know, there's a real dim lighting behind them, and it just makes them stand out. The contrast looks good. I don't know what else to say. Just personally, I like it at that exposure compensation.
I like what you had to say there. I know the light. That to me says that's the biggest thing I can impress upon people, is to get to know the light. But in your own house, I know the light. That's awesome.
I've taken a lot of pictures in here, so.
So, but exposure compensation, essentially, all it is if for those of you who have not used it yet, I recommend it, as Adam just did, is your camera takes its reading on what it determines to be the best exposure, and you're telling it, okay, take your best exposure, and then dial it back, underexpose it, because that's how I want it. That's all exposure compensation is, a big word for that's how I want it.
Yeah. And it works great too. One of the tips you gave me on that same episode was about in sunny days and using sort of the two thirds under as the baseline. And, you know, I find myself using that, sometimes even going a full stop under on a real sunny day, and it just makes the colors look better. Simple as that.
That's one of the things, is when you get a little overexposed. It's not that it's not just that it's too bright, but you can lose saturation in your colors very quickly. Specifically, the sky.
Right.
And so, if you're aiming to take a picture, you know, wherever you are on vacation or something like that, and you want to get that nice deep blue sky, that's a good time to underexpose. Now, you can go too far and basically underexpose your main subject, and everything goes to shadow.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, exposure comp. I use my biggest tip from you is you know, what's on daddy's head.
Yeah, it's a good tip.
I still use that. I don't say daddy, because I'm taking pictures of other people's kids. That makes it weird. But yeah, I have used that. Like, hey, what's going on over here?
The other, and again, this is going off topic. But the other little trick that I've learned recently about taking pictures of young children is, instead of saying, getting them to say cheese, getting them to say pickles usually produces a better smile. And I'm not sure why, just in my own experiences. And some, I heard another photographer use it, and it garnered great smiles. And so I've tried it myself a few times, and it works for whatever reason, pickles. So try that one out.
I like pickles.
Everybody likes pickles. That's part of it.
They say spaghetti over here.
Oh.
Well, spaghetti.
I haven't tried that, so.
Yeah, well, bust it out. Because I've done the say cheese over here, except for I do the translation, and it just doesn't sound right.
Right.
Everyone say, Keza. Sounds weird.
Cheese for young kids seems to produce goofy smiles. That, again, just in my experience.
Yeah. Pickles. I'm going to try pickles.
Yep.
Although it doesn't sound as cool in German, so. Gherkin. Yep. So there you go. So that's what I've learned from you. So
I'm glad. I'm glad to have taught you something.
Yeah. That was day one, though. So really nothing in the last 19 weeks.
Well, what about my version of dragging the shutter?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. We just call that slow exposure. Yeah.
Okay.
We already have a name for that. It's called blurry pictures.
All right, then. Was there,
that's not true.
There, I mean, I think the point of the highlights is that, you know, if anybody is just picking up with us now, go back and listen to some of the earlier episodes, because I think there are a lot of just good nuggets in there. And I say to Lisa, I don't know. I imagine that I'm somewhat of our target audience, someone who's trying to learn digital SLR photography and doesn't know it all, because if you do, this is probably the wrong show for you. But right. But for someone who's trying to learn it, I feel like, you know, every episode I have a takeaway. And part of that, going along with the photo challenges, is for those of you who are listening and are learning stuff, you know, take part in the photo challenges, because for me, anyways, whether I succeed or fail, I just find that it reinforces the principles each week by just taking those pictures using the techniques that we're talking about.
I could not agree with you more.
All right, then.
That was the purpose. Okay. Well, then the one takeaway, the one tip for today, I guess the show is about highlights, but I want to give everybody a new method today.
Okay.
Because I hinted at it last episode, and this is what I do all the time. Do you use autofocus?
Yes, I do.
I started out, when I first started taking digital pictures, I decided I was going to be a manual focus snob.
Okay.
I was only going to use manual. Why would I use autofocus? I'm a manual guy, and that lasted about 6 seconds. Autofocus is so good. It's much better than me. But the one disconnect I found was that the shutter button, which you hold the shutter button halfway down and it focuses, correct?
Right.
And then it basically determines your exposure, and then you make the picture. Well, that one button's doing an awful lot of work on its own. And so I always kind of wanted, even like from day one, I wanted to use autofocus, but I wanted to separate it from the shutter button. I didn't want that one button doing everything on its own. And so I didn't know that that was possible until I heard someone talking about that you could remap the buttons on your camera to do exactly what I just did. And so what I ended up doing is I remapped the button on the back there's a button on the back that I use with my thumb that I use to focus the camera.
Right.
And then it then frees up the shutter button just to do exposure and trip the shutter. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, so you don't have to do the half button press.
No, you don't really have to do that. And the beauty of it is this comes in really handy when you're doing the focus and recompose method.
Right.
Because let's say you focus on your subject, hold the shutter halfway down, and then recompose the shot. Well, when you held the shutter halfway down, it also holds your exposure based on that framing.
Right.
If you then turn and take the picture, your subject, your new subject, likely will not be properly exposed.
Oh, I did not know that.
So if you turn and do it with the thumb method, you focus, get your focus. Now you can let go of your thumb. It doesn't matter because you're not changing the distance between you and your subject. So focus will be bang on. You then recompose and then push the shutter. It's going to take the reading at the new frame, at your proper framing. It's going to do a exposure reading.
That's great. I knew that you had mentioned that a while ago to me. I'd never actually set it up, and I didn't understand. I don't think at that point that you had mentioned it exactly what it was doing, but now it makes sense.
Right. Now, it's very similar to a manual, like a complete manual situation, where you basically set your exposure, and then you can do anything you want with the focus because the shutter isn't going to change your exposure reading. But this is a good way to basically do it and still shoot in AV mode. Now, on my camera, and I think on yours as well, the back button is already mapped to do this.
Oh, really?
It's called AF. I think it's called AF on. You're really going to have to look in your manual. Because it's different on the Nikon. It's different on everything else, I think. I don't really know. It's worth looking up.
Okay.
So essentially, it's already enabled, likely, to do this, to be autofocus. What you're going to do is go into the manual and find out how to disable the focus from the shutter button.
Okay.
So that's a must.
Yeah.
And once you do that, it takes a little getting used to be able to focus with your thumb and then make the shot. But once you get used to it, that's it. I think you're going to be sold.
I will do it.
The one rub is as soon as somebody else wants to take a picture with your camera.
Yeah.
You have to get it, that's it. All is lost because there's no way you're explaining that to them.
Yeah.
And I get that all the time where if I have my camera sitting down, someone will get the – I don't know who does this. I don't know why people do this, think it's a good idea to grab my camera and start taking pictures with it, but they do. And they just fire away and everything comes back blurry because there's no focus at all.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's the one downside. But the upside is you're going to get a lot better pictures, I think, in certain situations.
Yeah, no, that's a good tip. I think that's a good tip for sure.
So I use it and only it. I'd never set it back. I know some guys like to set it back every now and then, depending on what they're shooting. I never, ever do. Always, always, always. I always use the center focus point and the back button. That's my method.
And I think that, you know, the focus and recompose, you know, just again, going back to things that I've learned, that's got to be one of the top of the list. Just that creating just changes everything as far as your composition goes and being able to easily get what you want in focus and then recompose just makes for better pictures.
Yep, I agree. And that's the kind of thing that can be done with your point and shoot. It can be done with your, well, I don't know how iPhone works. Everything's pretty much in focus, but even with your point and shoot cameras, focus, recompose. Works great.
Good stuff.
Okay. Next week's challenge.
All right. You got one?
I got it tied in. It's tied in with the button. I'd see how I see the synergy I've designed.
That's brilliant.
That's how we roll over here at the Two Hosers. Yeah. This week, a silhouette picture. You've all seen them. You've all seen them on the murals of the wallpaper in the 70s. Or maybe that was just my house.
Yeah.
But, you've seen the pictures I'm talking about. Silhouettes at the beach or something like that.
Yeah.
When they sunset. It doesn't have to be a sunset. I don't care. That's not the point of this. The point of this is to take a nice silhouette picture.
And do you have any tips as to how to do this?
No.
I can't say that I've ever taken a silhouette picture.
Big day then.
Yeah.
Big day. I'm going to give you some off mic tips.
Okay.
So we don't repeat last week's debacle.
Okay.
What can you imagine being some of the challenges of taking a silhouette picture?
Underexposing everything?
Possibly.
Or not having the silhouette be underexposed enough?
First thing you're going to do is look for a situation where you can make a silhouette.
So it's going to have to be pretty dark.
Dark or generally, it's going to be a high contrast situation where you're going to have a lot of light coming in and then a lot of dark.
Right.
So that's where you're going to look for the silhouette. But I think you'll find it. I think you'll figure it out. And I think once you take the picture with the back button focus, you'll see why That's important.
Okay.
So that's it. All right. Make a silhouette.
I will make one.
And I will also do one. So that's it for this week for episode 20. Adam, where can people find your pictures?
They can find them, as always, on my wife's blog, and she is currently putting a new blog post up from what we did on our long weekend here on Victoria Day in Canada at schwartzchronicles.com. And Alan, how about...
Well, hang on. I feel like it's been a while since your wife's posted, I'll be honest with you.
Well, we were away. We were away for a few days.
Yeah. But I like seeing pictures of, you know, what the kids are up to, so... I'm just saying, if only for me, just, you know, do it more often. Okay, Anyways.
Where can we find your stuff?
My stuff, as usual, alnatridge.com or alnatridge.de. You can find the two of us at twohosers.com, @twohosers on the Twitter. We are on iTunes. You can subscribe to us directly. I think if you subscribe directly on iTunes, you get the episodes faster or sooner, not faster. It comes at the same speed, I believe, but I think it shows up in your iTunes faster if you're subscribed versus if you go to the site,
right?
Like the iTunes site. I'm not sure. I'm not Steve Jobs, so I don't really know how it works.
It's easier. How about that?
It's also easier. I highly recommend it. So you can find us on iTunes, and most importantly, I want to re-mention our Flickr site, which there's a link to on our Two Hosers page that you can go to, and you can submit your own photos and participate or ask us any questions on the forum, and we'll do our best to help you out.
Absolutely.
So that's it. All right. Well, until next week, everybody, go out and make better pictures.